Genesis chapter 12. And we will be there in just a moment. And I want you to have your Bibles ready this afternoon. We're going to look at several portions of Scripture. I will read them if you don't have a Bible, but it would be nice if you were next to one. So look on with your neighbor if you don't have yours, but we'll be in Genesis 12 in just a moment. And let me begin maybe by just asking you a question. Next time we get together will be 2004. Time is flying. And how has your year been? How's it gone? How has 2003 been for you? Has this been a year that you've had good health or poor health? How has your work life been, relationships, your Christian life? And just think for a second about how life has been for you. How would you describe it? And if it's been good, you may say something like, boy, I have really been blessed this year with great health. Or I have really been blessed with a job that I enjoy. Or I've been blessed with friends or a spouse that I love. Or I've been blessed with kids. Or I've been blessed. And you fill in the blank. If it's been good, we use language like that. And sometimes I wonder when Christians use this blessed term, is this just kind of something that we say? Is it kind of Christian lingo? What does it really mean to be blessed? Well, I've been wandering around the Bible in my own personal devotional life for the last really 4 or 5 months, thinking about this idea of God's blessing and reading different portions of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, with this idea in mind of God's blessing and trying to figure out what it is. And one thing for sure that I've discovered, the Bible is full, from Old Testament to New Testament, of talk about God's blessing. And as I've read through these Scriptures and begin to take some notes in these months in preparation for the teaching in the next couple of moments, I've noticed some very clear and some very simple directives that we have from God about patterns that describe His blessing in our life. And this is certainly not the last word on God's blessing. There's so much that could be said. But the next couple of minutes, I just want to share with you 4 very quick observations that I've discovered out of my own Bible reading about God's blessing. The first observation is this, and it's pretty simple, but it's everywhere in the Bible. God wants to bless His people. He wants to bless us. Now think with me for a little bit in this teaching this afternoon. I really want to have fun in the next couple of moments. So would you lighten up? Okay, Christmas is over. We're going to wander through some portions of Scripture. We're going to think about this area of God's blessing. And I really want you to interact with me a little bit. I'm going to be done in a few minutes, and I'm going to actually ask you to finish the teaching and share for just briefly a little bit of some of the blessings that you see in Scripture. But the first observation is that God wants to bless us. At the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, after God creates all this wonderful good things that He pronounces a benediction over and over and says it was good, it was good, it was good, we find that God then says He blesses them and He says, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God gives a blessing to Adam and to Eve. As you continue to read in the Old Testament, you see that the covenant-making God, that Yahweh is a God who makes covenants with His people, and over again as He makes covenant promises, He promises to bless His people. If you're in Genesis 12, just follow along with me. This is the Abrahamic covenant where God makes a covenant promise with Abraham. And He says in verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be, what? A blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So we get this idea of blessing over and over again. Now we're going to see that promise reiterated in Galatians 3 in just a second. I want to read that verse in a few moments. But we see over and over again as the covenants are made, as God promises to work with His people, that we see that He wants to bless them. If you're in your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel. And if you don't know where Ezekiel is, you're in good shape. It's okay. It's a difficult one to find. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. So try and get to Ezekiel chapter 34. And if you can't find it, just listen. I'm going to pick up this promise as Ezekiel is prophesying in looking towards the future kingdom, the future of God's blessing. As he's prophesying, things are bleak. Jerusalem has been devastated. And in verse 25 of Ezekiel's prophecy, he says this, and I want you to notice the language of how he describes and looks forward to what God wants to do in the life of his people. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests safely. Next verse, I will bless them. And the places surrounding my hill, I will send down showers in season that there may be showers of, and what's the word there? Blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit. The ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. Now, things are not going well for Israel. And God is saying, in the future, as you look forward, I'm going to bless my people. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will be afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture are my people. I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. God wants to bless his people. If you continue to read through the Bible all the way to the book of Revelation, and just put this if you're taking notes or thinking with me here, at the very end of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 22, we have this marvelous picture where the Bible ends of God blessing his people and bringing peace and harmony into their life. When you look at all the blessings in the Bible, it becomes very, very clear that it is in God's nature to bless his people. He almost can't help it. It's who God is. He wants to bless those that he loves. Let me give a simple illustration. We just saw three babies dedicated here. And those parents love those kids so much already that those parents want to do everything they can to bless those kids. Parents, isn't that true? We want to do everything we can for our kids. Our daughter, Corey, was just up from San Diego and spent 3 days with us. She just graduated. And I had a moment of just looking at her and just thinking in my heart, I want the best for my daughter. I would do anything for her. I want to bless her. I want to give her stuff. Parents tend to spoil their kids. Why do we spoil our kids? Because we love them and we want to bless them. If you're under 12, would you say amen? Hey, guys in the front row, your parents want to spoil you. Is that good news? You tell them what you learned at church today. Okay, this is, I think, a picture of how God works in our life. As I read the Bible, it seems very obvious to me and very plain that God wants to bless us because he loves us. It's in his nature to bless his people. Have you ever thought maybe that God spoils us? I don't know if that's the right word, but I'll just use it anyway. Spoils us spiritually. That he pours out on us spiritual blessings just because he loves us. In the Bible, we have benediction after benediction. There's so many. A benediction simply means to pronounce a blessing. That's all the word means. And many times we will end one of our worship services with a benediction. Oftentimes it's out of scripture. Sometimes we just make one up and we bless the congregation. Probably one of the most famous benedictions is in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Isn't that a great blessing? Well, one of the things we miss sometimes when we give that benediction or that blessing at the end of a service is at the beginning of that blessing, God says to Moses, he says, Moses, tell Aaron and his sons that this is how you are to bless the nation. And then he gives that blessing that I just recited. At the end of that blessing, he says, so that they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Is this good stuff? God wants to bless his people. When the verse says that his face may shine upon you, that could be translated smile. This is the smile of God, his face shining. Do you ever just look at your kids and just kind of smile? This is what the Bible says that God does towards us, that he smiles at us. The next phrase, turn his face towards you, simply means to pay attention. That the God of the universe wants to bless us to the extent that he pays attention to us. Well, God is going to bless his people because he is God and he wants to. He wants to bless each and every one of us here today because it's in his nature to bless. Well, this leads to the second observation in my study as I've thought through this area of God's blessing. And it's this, that God's blessing, his blessings, rather plural, have primarily already been given to the Christian. For the most part, the blessings of God have been given to the believer and are available to the Christian. The emphasis in the Bible is not so much on asking to be blessed as receiving the blessings that have already been given. I know what you're thinking, Steve, aren't we told in Scripture to ask? And the answer is yes. We've already studied that just a few weeks back. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. If then, though you are evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And that's true. There are times that we are to be people who ask. Who ask for God's blessing. But I would suggest that the primary teaching of Scripture, the emphasis of Scripture, is that God has already blessed us and that we now have to receive the blessings that God has given. Have you read the Prayer of Jabez? This is a little tiny volume that probably many, many of you have read. This book has really had a huge impact. And I'm going to interact with it just for a second. And I want to give a bit of a disclaimer. I'm not interacting with this book to be overly critical, although I will confess at the beginning I'm not thrilled with the message of this book. But it sold millions. You can get this little volume, it says on the back, for $10, $9.99. So Wilkerson wrote this book, and it has really become almost an industry in Christianity, at least in this country. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, what it is, it's a study of a rather obscure prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to read the whole prayer to you on which this book is written. And here's the prayer. And it's written by, spoken by a man named Jabez, who's really a very, very minor biblical figure. And here's the prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hands be with me. Keep me from harm so that I may be free from pain. That's it. And now we have a whole industry and just an enormous amount of money that this book and all kinds of other Jabez stuff has produced. Now, part of what's going on in this book is a little subtitle that you can't see, obviously, but underneath the prayer of Jabez, it says, breaking through to the blessed life. And the premise of the book is this, and I'm now quoting from the book, God really does have unclaimed blessings waiting for you, my friend, so says the author. In other words, there's blessings out there that God has for us that we simply have to ask for. And if we don't ask for them, we don't get them. And he goes on to give an illustration that is, and I don't want to be too hard on him because I give illustrations in teaching and I know how hard it is to illustrate anything. No illustration works perfectly, okay? And you remind me of that on a weekly basis. But he gives an illustration of someone who dies and goes to heaven and meets St. Peter, and then is taken into a room where there's all kinds of gifts, and there's boxes, and there's a box with his name on it. And the box is opened, and inside he sees all these blessings that could have been his had he asked for them in this life. And there's sadness, because he didn't break through to the blessings that were available. Now listen, we should pray for God to bless us in specific areas. Are you thinking with me? I may be in trouble here in a minute, but just go with me for a moment. We should pray for God's blessing. We prayed for God's blessing, Reed did just a second ago, on three kids. We should ask God to bless those children. We should pray for God's blessing for this church. God keep us united. We should pray for wisdom and insight into missions as we step out in the world. We should pray for our leaders. Here's Dan Walker. Dan, stand up quickly, please. This is one of our new elders. Is Dan Underwood here? Okay, Dan and Dan are two new elders that are going to begin serving. We need to pray for these guys as they give us direction and kind of shape our church life together. We should do that. But I want you to know that most of the time, the emphasis in the Bible is not so much on asking for God's blessing, but on receiving the blessings that we've already been given. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, a pretty well-known portion of Scripture around here. Listen to this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We are people who have been blessed already. And then right after that, Paul goes on to give a very long list of ways in which we've been blessed. He says that we are people who have been chosen by God. That's a blessing. We've been blessed because we've been adopted. We were orphans spiritually, so to speak, and were adopted into his family. We have been blessed in that we have redemption. We have been blessed in that we have forgiveness of sins. We have been blessed because we have been graced. We're recipients of God's grace. So we get this marvelous word that he's lavished. Do you like lavished? I love that word. He's lavished. In other words, he's just poured out grace upon us. And we're blessed because of that. He goes on at the end of that chapter in verse 13 to say that we're blessed because we've received the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Has sealed us as a guarantee of our future inheritance. And it's just a marvelous, marvelous chapter that Paul opens up with. Well, let me give my illustration that's kind of the counterpart to the one that I just referred to in this book. And you can think through this a little bit. I think God's blessings are much more like the cash card that you may have gotten at Christmas. I want to see a hand. How many got a cash card? Maybe to Starbucks. Oh, see, lots of them. They're really popular now. And I've been reading about them in the business section of the paper. You know, you can get one of those little magnetic cards that they run through the deal. And you can have, that's a gift that someone might give you. The thing is that the companies are making millions and millions of dollars on cards that go unused. I'm looking over here. Where's Carrie? And Eric, there's Eric and Carrie, or there's at least Eric and Carrie. Oh, there's Carrie right there. I did their wedding a while back, and I haven't even told you guys this. This is like real confession time, and they just thanked me, and they gave me one of those cards. I lost it. Okay, I'm not asking for another one, okay? Okay? But they just gave me this thank you card, and I lost it. It's somewhere at the wedding at the reception. I'm a pretty energetic dancer. Somehow it came out. And it's gone. And so wherever they bought that card, whatever money they put on that, my guess is $300 or $400 at least, that company made that card. Now, Carrie, recover for the rest of the sermon, okay? It's okay. I have my wallet just last week, and I'm thumbing through my wallet, cleaning stuff out, and lo and behold, I find a card from Borders. I have no idea who gave me this card. I have no idea how the card got in my wallet. But I go to the gal at Borders and I say, how much is on this card? And she tells me, and it's just enough to get the new Sarah McLachlan CD. And I'm thrilled. So here's this gift that I'm receiving that I begin to use. Now listen, most of the time when we receive God's blessing, we don't have to ask, we simply have to use what already has been given. And one of the tragedies of the Christian life is that sometimes God's blessings go unused, not because they haven't been given, but because they have not been really put into our life, appreciated in our life, or realized in our life. But they've already been given. The gift card is yours, but sometimes we lose it, or it sits in a drawer and it goes unused. Let's think through a couple of these areas. Let's think about the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, the Bible tells us, Romans 8, 9, Ephesians 1, 13, has been blessed by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. God empowers our life so that we can live the Christian life. Now, how many times do we try then to go about living the Christian life independent of the power of the Spirit? And I would say frequently, the blessing has been given. But do we avail ourselves of the blessing? Do we use it? Or does it lie dormant? Let's think about forgiveness. And trust me, I'm way into forgiveness. To know me is to know that I love forgiveness. To be a Christian is to be forgiven of our sins. That's the essence of being a Christian. The gift has been given, but some of us continue to wallow in self-pity, in guilt, in despair, because we've never really appropriated that gift to our life experientially. It's not that the gift has been unopened or that we haven't asked for it. It's simply that we have not really used it in our life. Some of you undoubtedly got a new shirt or a new article of clothing for Christmas. And you opened the box and you said, oh, that's just what I wanted. And you looked at it and you thought, this is great. And you tried it on and it fit. And you put it on a hanger and you put it on in the closet. And if the shirt stays in the closet, you never really can appreciate or utilize the blessing of that gift. The point is to put that shirt on and to wear it and to enjoy it and to appreciate the blessing of that gift. If you don't, follow me here, stay with me. If you don't put that shirt on, it is not the fault of the gift giver. It is your fault. The gift has been given. It's up to you to put it on, to appropriate it, to wear it. God's blessings have already been given, by and large, to the Christian. The emphasis in the Bible is not so much on asking to be blessed as in receiving the blessings that have already been given. And I guess I just, before I go on to my next observation, ask the question, are you putting on the new shirt? Are you putting on God's blessings? The gift card, is it lying dormant, unused? Is it lost? You don't even know where it is. Or are you taking God's blessings and using them in your life? Well, this leads to my third observation. And the third observation is this, that we receive God's blessings through faith and action. We receive God's blessings through faith and action. Faith as we trust in the promises of God, and action as we live the Christian life. That is, as we follow God in our lifestyle. Let's take faith first. Go to Galatians chapter 3. We'll look at a couple of more portions of Scripture quickly here. Galatians, Ephesians, Galatians chapter 3. And we see that faith is one of the ways that we experience God's blessings. Consider Abraham. I'm in verse 6 of chapter 3 in Galatians. He believed God, that is, he had faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. And here we get a partial reiteration of Genesis 12, the Abrahamic covenant. All the nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. As we have faith, as we trust in God, we experience in our heart his blessing. Take, for example, eternal life. The older we get, the more you really begin to value the idea that we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Now listen, to the extent that we have faith in those promises, that we experientially embrace them, will be the extent to which those blessings really permeate our life. I want you to know that as I've thought about eternal life, I have no fear of death. So that I am experiencing the blessings through faith of what God has blessed me with in advance of the actual living of eternal life. What a great, great thing. I think of forgiveness. We see so much of forgiveness in the Psalms, and especially from King David. Listen to Psalm 32, just the first couple of verses. David is contemplating God's grace, and he says, blessed is those is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. David goes on in many other psalms, I think primarily of Psalm 51, one of the great psalms of forgiveness, to utter words of faith and trust in the blessing of God's forgiveness. And he enjoyed that blessing to the extent that he really embodied it in his life of faith. Well, let's look quickly at action. Action, right Christian living, really following Jesus in our lifestyle. That's one of the ways we experience God's blessing. We studied it in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that sermon, that very famous sermon of Jesus's. And the Beatitudes begin that sermon, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And really what's being said here in these Beatitudes is blessed is the man or woman who follows Jesus with their lifestyle. In other words, with action. We receive God's blessing as we live the Christian life. Luke 11:28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So as we hear God's word and obey it, we receive his blessing. John 13:17, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed," what? "If you do them." In other words, if you live out this new life, you're going to receive my blessing. Peter's first sermon at the end of Acts chapter 3, verse 26, he climaxes his sermon and he says, "When God raises up his servant," that's Jesus, "he sent him first to bless you by turning you from your wicked ways." So as we turn from the old life and go to a new life of following Jesus, what happens? We receive God's blessing. We receive God's blessing as we earnestly seek to live the Christian life, as we adopt the new kingdom lifestyle. When I was 12 years old, my mom and dad moved to Italy, and my dad was involved in the filming of motion pictures. He was working on special effects for 20th Century Fox, and he worked on Cleopatra and The Agony and the Ecstasy. And Reed and I had the great privilege of living in Italy for a year and a half. And in 1962, trust me, Italy was a very different place than it is today. There were no supermarkets. You went to the bread store and to the meat market and to the cheese place and the vegetable stand. Travel was very different. The lifestyle of Italians was very different than anything we were used to. And to my parents' credit, as they went to Italy, we began to live the Italian lifestyle. We began to eat Italian food. Both my mom and dad became quite fluent in Italian quickly. My mom adopted Italian shopping patterns. We began to eat late. Italians, especially in the summer, eat dinner around 9 o'clock. We even got into the siesta thing, you know, a few hours off in the middle of the afternoon, a little nap. It works. Trust me, it's a great way to live. And to my folks' credit, they didn't sit in Italy in this very different culture and kind of say, "Oh man, it's just not like the United States. The conveniences aren't here and things aren't done quite as efficiently and we're used to eating dinner at 6 o'clock and, you know, things work like this." And they loosened up and they got into an Italian lifestyle. And because of that, as a family, we enjoyed the blessing of living in Italy. I find that so many Christians grate and rub and have tensions with living the Christian life because they don't fully say, "Yeah, I'm going to live this new life with Jesus. I'm going to put it into action. I believe it and I'm going to live it. And as I live it, I will enjoy it." If we have a foot in both worlds, we miss God's blessing. Okay, I'm just about done. But I know what some of you are thinking, or at least I'm anticipating a question. You may be thinking, "Steve, all this stuff sounds great about God's blessing. This idea that God really wants to bless his people is wonderful, but my life isn't going all that well, frankly. 2003 has not been the greatest year. I'm having a hard time experiencing the blessing of God." Excuse me. "The pain in my life overshadows God's blessing." Have you heard the story of Bethany Hamilton? She's been in the news a lot lately. 13-year-old girl. Cute little gal. Blonde girl who lives on the north shore of Kauai. On November 3rd of this year, just a couple of months ago, she was surfing with her best friend and her best friend's father at a beach called Tunnels, which is very close to Princeville. Ironically, Don and I were there for our 30th anniversary this August, and there was no surf at that time. We're skin diving. It's one of these places where, as we were just snorkeling, the water is about 6 or 7 feet deep right here, and it just drops off deep. It's just the eeriest, scariest place into about 50, 60 or more feet of water. It's just odd. One place is really shallow, and the ocean side, very, very deep. That's one of the reasons it's a good surf spot. Well, Bethany was surfing, and a 16-foot tiger shark bit her at about 8:30 in the morning and severed her arm right at the shoulder. And she came very close to losing her life. The father of her little girlfriend quickly took a surfboard leash and wrapped it around what was left to stem the bleeding. And her life was saved, but she lost her arm. Bethany, by all accounts, is an amazing surfer. She had just a few weeks earlier signed her first professional contract where she was making money and was looking forward to a life as a professional surfer. And it's a pretty lucrative way to go for some folks if they're good enough. And all her hopes and her dreams and her aspirations as this young gal were set on a career as a surfer. Well, it turns out that Bethany was a young gal who knew Jesus. And in one of her interviews post this traumatic event, the interviewer asked her, "Bethany, what's the greatest thing that's happened to you in your life?" And this little girl responded, "Well, since I lost my arm, the coolest thing has happened. Two of my girlfriends who didn't know Jesus have met Jesus through my story." I just thought, wow. I got on her website. You can, I don't have it here with me, but it's pretty easy to find. She has a website that kind of describes what happened to her. And on her website, the first thing you see in big, bold letters, besides a picture of this little girl with her arm gone, are the words from Jeremiah 29:1 that the Mundells just gave to their daughter, Malia. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I just thought, wow. Here's this young gal who had all her aspirations moving in one direction, and they're definitively changed for the rest of her life. And she opens up her website with the words from Jeremiah, trusting in God's sovereignty. It appears that this 13-year-old girl has discovered the biblical truth that God's blessings are found even in the midst of the disappointments of life. That God's blessings function in the context of His sovereign control over our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The last observation is that to know God's blessings is to praise Him. And I'm just about done, and I'm going to ask you to think through some of God's blessings with me. But when we embrace the blessings of God, we are in turn compelled to say thank you, to bless God, to speak well of Him, to give Him praise. Again, that verse from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Paul just explodes and he says, "Wow, thank you, God. You have given so much to us. You have blessed us in such an abundant fashion." We're going to come to the table in just a minute, but I thought it'd be fun to reflect, and I'm going to ask you to just give little snippets and just stand where you are and just real quickly say some of the things and some of the ways that God has blessed you. And let's think temporally a bit, but let's think of the spiritual blessings that God has given us. I recited a whole bunch. I just gave you 6 or 7 of them. You can repeat them again out of Ephesians 1, but They're all through the Scripture. What are the spiritual blessings that God has given us already that we as His people have? Would you just stand and say what you're thankful for? Just give us one spiritual blessing. Let's kind of have just a real quick movement through the room of thanking God for these blessings. Faith. The unity of the body. Keep them coming. There's lots of them out there. Okay. Sovereignty of His purposes in history. Okay. Keep them coming. Yeah, and with that, the gift of prayer. What a blessing. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Unconditional love. The armor of God. Yeah, Ephesians 6. I'm thankful. I don't know, not to harp on this. I'm really thankful for eternal life. Maybe I'm getting older. But eternal life. I'm way into eternal life. What a blessing. Come on. Recite some of the ones I just gave you out of Ephesians 1. There's a whole slew of them. For His word, for the word of God. Excellent. Resurrection power. Okay. For the Holy Spirit. For His healing power. Well, listen. Forgiveness, yeah, oh gosh, that's the heart of the Christian life. Listen, as we come to the table, I want to encourage you to keep pondering in your mind the blessings of God that He has poured out on us, that He has lavished upon us, the grace that He's just given us to know Him. And think about what God has done for us. And then ask yourself that question, are we really appropriating these blessings in our life? Are we experiencing them? Things that have already been given? Or is the shirt stay in the closet unused, unworn? As we come to the table, remember that Jesus gave special significance on that last night as He sat with His disciples to bread and to wine. And he pointed to the bread and He said, "This is symbolic of My body. This points to My broken body." And He passed around a cup of wine and He said, "This represents My shed blood." And for us who have placed our faith and trust in Christ, this is a blessing. We have forgiveness. We have, the Bible uses a word like redemption. We've been bought back. We come into right relationship with God through the sacrifice of Christ. Come and rejoice in that blessing, reminding yourself that God wants to bless us. And He's already done that in Christ. Come, there'll be prayer teams up here to pray with you. If you'd like just to pray and ask for God's blessing in certain areas or to thank Him for the blessings that have already been given, that would be appropriate. Just to come and have somebody to pray with, there'll be folks here. But come and rejoice and thank God for the blessings that He's given us in Christ. Come to the table.